Welcome to episode 165 of The Numbers Game. I'm Jace. I'm here with Nick and Marty. How are we, fellas?
Going well, mate. I'm a bit shocked, actually, a bit stunned. Went out for breakfast with the good wife yesterday and Charlie, and just ordered some eggs on toast and a coffee each, and Charlie had some waffles. $97. $97. Out of East, too. Out of East. So that... I sort of, you know, after being shocked, talked to the owner and just said, why so high for eggs and a piece of toast and some coffee? He just goes, it's just cost of labor. He goes, you know, it's we have to put the prices up to that level. So, yeah, I was a bit stunned. I wanted to give him some money, obviously, just not that much. But the eggs were good. It was a good feed, but interesting. Anyway, I'm all right. I've recovered. Nick, how are you?
I'm going well, Just wondering, if you spend 97 on the good wife, where does the bad wife come in? 50, 60?
I don't know if I should answer that on a public forum, but definitely a lot cheaper.
No, I'm going well. Look, I really resonate with what you say. I just, not that I refuse to go out for breakfast, that's the wrong word, but we just don't go out for breakfast much anymore because it's a one meal that I think you can do just as well at home and really bloody quickly. Mind you, we do go out for breakfast sometimes, but it's not a regular thing anymore because you just can't comprehend the money. I know that he mentioned wages and whatnot, but it's still never going to add up in my head that you've got to spend $100 on, you know, three pretty simple meals. It's just ludicrous. Jay should be a waffle man.
No, absolutely not waffles. I like my I'm a Bernard Salt man. Avo on toast, smashed avo on toast. The old Bernard Salt story. If anyone doesn't know that, have a quick Google. But funny you mentioned that, Marty, because Case and I stopped at a pizza place, or I shouldn't say pizza. It's called Pinsa. It's like a special type of pizza. It's in St Kilda. And
Excuse me, is this sort of hot dog and sausage and bread story? What, no, pinsa, did you say?
Pinsa. It's a special type of pizza, special base, 72 hours, whatever. Like, now, don't get me wrong, epic
20%
pizza.
20% surcharge.
Well, I think for Case and I, we just wanted a quick dinner when we're leaving an appointment Friday night. So two pizzas and two Peroni Reds, and it was, $80 or $90. And it was like, oof, like that stung for a quick takeaway dinner. That stung the pocket a lot more than what I'd mentally been prepared for. You know, when you think about a couple of takeaway pizzas in a box and you cruise out, you don't expect to be dropping, you know, $80, $90.
$50.
Yeah, correct. So I hear you, Marty. I hear you. And we've probably built in this episode to be talking about, you know, expenses and high costs and everything else. So I'm intrigued to where we're going with this, Marty. What have we got planned for this episode?
Well, I'm just pissed off with the Victorian debt levels. Totally pissed off. It's, you know, we're at $55.2 billion in 2019. And, yeah, I know COVID cost us $31 billion, but we're going to be at $247 billion in the next year and a half to 2 years. It's just out of control. I mean, and the number is we're going to be paying $40 million a day in interest on that debt. And I'm just putting two and two together and trying to work out how the hell do we get out of this as Victorians? Like, we're going to be paying this off for generations. And I'm looking, and I know growth changes, but, you know, we're trying to bring inflation down. The growth rate's only looking to be about 1.5% at a maximum over the next 12, 18 months. And I just don't know how we're going to do it. I mean, you can't take more money off people that don't have it, which is what they're trying to do. And then you can't take more money off people that are making the upside because they're going to go and invest somewhere else. You know, all this land tax that we're having to pay, you know, I mean, it's a crazy scenario, but I went in to buy a new suit at Roger David, just your classical Outer East, nice threads, right? But but I went in there and I said, you know, how much for the suit? There's this usual suit I usually buy. And they said, well, it's actually 40% off. It's down from $750 to $400. And I said, I've actually never paid for a suit at $400. It's always been about $550 at least for the last, 10 years or so. And he said, well, we have to move stock. So even though we're not making the margins we'd usually make, we still have to get the turnover to let the business run. But all we're doing is not hiring people. We're putting off the labor because, again, the cost is in the labor. And I'm going, geez, this is really interesting. When you start banking up, the unemployment rate now is over 4%. And I know the government wants to sort of cap it out. And I think nationally they want to cap that out around 4.5% as a maximum. But you got low growth rates. You've got the fear of inflation. So they don't want to stimulate the economy. But that means they're just going to take money off the table that's there already from us. And I just don't know. And don't get me wrong, I'm pissed at Dan Andrews, but I'm also pissed at the Liberals for not holding the damn thing accountable. Because, you know, it just should not happen to this degree. And to see the debt go from $55 billion to it being $247 billion in the next 18 months is just criminal. I just can't fiscally get that through my head how this can happen. Sorry, guys. No.
Love it. And I'm going to allow you to get more annoyed in a minute. But to unpack that, $40 million a day in interest repayments. So the government needs to find, just to service the debt, will be finding between $14 and $15 billion a year just in interest repayments. So when you think about the amount of revenue the government needs to collect from Victorians who live and pay tax in Victoria, that is a just astronomical amount of money that needs to be taken off everyday Victorians, not Australians. This is a Victorian state debt, which means land tax, state revenue office, payroll tax, all these different things that we're being hit with. This is why, you know, in a couple of early episodes we talked about, you know, does eventually capital gains tax come off the cards? I mean, that's at a national level when we redistributed, but this is where all these taxes to the everyday Australians getting hit over and over again. And this is why Victoria, I mean, you know, it used to be the place to be was the old number plate thing on Victoria. And, you know, Victoria was the number one state after COVID that had a mass exodus. We had more people leaving the state than coming to the state after COVID. And, you know, we're meant to be in the top 10 best places in the world to live, but all of a sudden the numbers just don't quite stack up as a state when, and as you said, Marty, from poor management point of view, how does that happen? If this was a business, if this was anything else, you know, it's just, where's the accountability? That's exactly right, Marty.
There doesn't seem to be any. And the reality is, you go around in circles here, but we just don't have the right people in politics, because who'd want to do it? Most smart people, and I'm sure we've spoken about this, but most smart people realize they can make more money elsewhere. So we get numpties that run the countries and the states. But I just think, to your point around the number, Marty, I just think just numbers are so almost irrelevant now. Like, the world has moved so much that these big numbers, you know, a millionaire used to be a big thing. Now how many people are billionaires? And now we've got, you know, a cashless society, and we've got crypto, and what do numbers really mean? You know, that's the challenge. And do you know what the total US debt is at the moment?
No, it'd be trillions, wouldn't it?
$34 trillion. The crazy thing in the US is a lot of that money's borrowed from super funds and whatnot, or their version of super funds. So you've actually got the people of the US lending back to the US. It's just like, I don't know. It's crazy. But yeah, to your point, Jase, it's just any business, there would be ramifications. Well, number one, it'd probably be shut down. I know you can't shut a state down, but yeah, where does it end? And how do you, and I know it's all relative, but how do you claw your way back? Like, I get taxes and all that sort of stuff, but that we're a long way back.
Because you still got to invest in infrastructure, given population growth.
Yeah, you can't just stop spending. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. So you can't just stop spending. So it's like you've got to create significant growth, and they don't want to do that because then inflation sparks back up and can cause a problem too. So they have to manage this cycle effectively, yet I'm going, well, we need growth in order to pay back the debt. Yeah. So it's a real conundrum. And I'm the more I'm contemplating it, I just go, I'm not quite sure what the way out is. And like you said, it could be years.
Yeah. And the thing is, and this is where it gets kind of interesting, when you go as a state, how we're going to stack up over the coming 5-10 years, and then maybe why, if we dig a bit deeper into why and where the money's been spent. You look at infrastructure, schools, hospitals, all of this planning for a bigger population moving to Melbourne. So between now and 2033, we're meant to go from 6.5 million people in Melbourne to 8.5 million people in Melbourne. We're meant to have a bigger population than Sydney within 10 years. We're going to overtake Sydney as Australia's biggest capital city. Then you go, I look at the roads, public transport, traffic, hospital system, schools, apparently, like, you know, we're overrun everywhere. So the question, and then even with construction companies going into liquidation, cost of materials, cost of labor, in what world does it make sense that we expand from 6.5 million to 8.5 million and, you know, bring in more, I guess, more population and continue to grow and continue to expand the debt? And then this is the bit where then, how does it then end up getting paid back? It is the taxes, the new Victorian land taxes, the new property taxes. But then you think, if we've got this thing where we need people to be developing and putting wealth and prosperity into Victoria to grow, you know, infrastructure and build properties, but you want to make it the highest tax state, wouldn't you be better off taking your money to a different state and investing it elsewhere if you're not going to pay as much tax?
It's happening.
So it's kind of counterintuitive.
But that's happening. You've got investors in this state, we spoke about this, selling properties because it just doesn't make sense to hold them anymore. And we're seeing our clients on the finance side that are now investing in, they've been investing in Queensland for quite some time. They're starting to invest in Perth now because the returns are better, Adelaide as well, or South Australia. So it's happening now. And yeah, you've got investors selling, you've got an increased rent, increase in the rental crisis, and they're deterring investors from wanting to build properties. Like, it's just crazy. So who makes these decisions? Like, if we can sit here and say it's common sense,
yeah,
then it's obvious, they're obviously stupid if it's common sense.
So I was going to say, from a state government decision, you know, I don't know if you guys heard over the weekend, Jackie Falgate brought it up and it kind of did the rounds online. But there's an article from over 10 months ago and it's still empty. The government spent $1.1 billion building a new prison just outside of Geelong. It's been empty for the last year. It costs $36 million to continue to run, leaving it empty. The air conditioners are running. You know, but there's no prisoners in there, but it costs $1.1 billion to build. It's been operational, like as in turned on and power and air conditioning and, you know, a few little training runs through there. It costs $36 million to sit vacant over the last year. But we've also got crime running rampant in all these suburbs where home invasions of cars are being stolen. So again, what kind of decision-making is this?
Well, why isn't it filled?
They don't have the people to work it. Apparently, they don't have enough jobs filled. So now they need to hire people and train people, and they're struggling to fill the roles and do the training that they need to have enough prison officers to then warrant filling it up. And I think it's meant to be it's actually meant to be a youth jail, crime, prison.
No. Well, there's a great future plan for Victoria.
It just goes on and on. You know, you've got the desal plant that's sitting there, which was, I think, $4 billion or something. Like, why not just build more dams or get the catchment, you know, sort of look at the rainfall that we've had in the last couple of years. The last thing we need is a desal plant. The Commonwealth Games, the thing that got me about the Games is, why were we taking it regional? I get the incentive to build up regional areas, but why were we trying to build stadiums in Geelong for the Commonwealth Games when we've got probably one of the best sports precincts in the world in Melbourne? It's just stupid. And it was all vote grabbing, you know. So this is the issue with politics, and everyone knows this, but they don't, you know, they're only thinking about themselves and their own tenure. They're not thinking about what is absolutely best for the state, the country, the world, absolute long term.
And I'd just add to that what Jace was saying. Like, I was thinking about the roads yesterday on Sunday. You go for a nice Sunday drive, Yeah, you could drive around. Like I was driving through Ringwood, it was bumper to bumper. It was literally bumper to bumper with the volumes of people we have now. And I had a look at some of the future Victorian land planning acts as to what they're doing, and they're just going up in the outer suburbs. They talk about these 20-minute type cities where even in Blackburn, they're building apartments and they've got those Jeffreys, which is a new type of supermarket at the bottom so people can walk there. So the only thing I'm thinking, obviously they're going to have to invest so heavily in transport, or they try and keep people within vicinities, but I guess they must be bringing people in with money to buy these apartments and get tax revenue through that. I'm just trying to, in my own head, thinking, how are they trying to create the upside? But it must be just doing stuff like that, because otherwise you just don't see a way out. Has to be something like that, because they're making some good money on the taxes ultimately. But geez, I tell you why, I wouldn't want to get any more busier.
Yeah,
got to do something.
Particularly at the moment, it's a nightmare trying to go anywhere. There's that much happening, obviously, with the East-West Link and whatnot, but I don't know.
Wasn't one of those contracts ripped up at the cost of $1 billion, the East-West Link?
Another one.
Yeah.
And then I think there's the rail to the airport that's on standby at the moment due to cost blowout. So there's been X amount of dollars invested in that. So,
And we are so far behind. Like, to think that we don't have a rail network into the city from our airport is crazy. Like, for Melbourne being the city it is, like, we are so far behind in the fact that we don't have that. And now it's not even in the works, you know.
I almost feel like we need another party, like a liquidator, to come in and just put the state back together and make sure there's a feasible way out. I've lost a lot of trust. We've been locked down 4 times the amount of any other state. And now I look at it and I go, everyday people, you know, interest rates is as high as they've ever been. The productivity is down. People are working more hours and productivity's down. That's because people are getting sacked at the moment. Other people have to, you know, have to do the work that needs to be done. So obviously, you know, a few mental health issues as well with that. So it's not like people aren't having a crack in Victoria. They absolutely are. And I think they just need to be supported by something that's, you know, with discipline and numbers stacking up in their favour, and some, again, they can sell hope, but without optimism and a clear plan out of this, you know, I'm not hearing about the upside plan. I just want to hear an upside plan to really show us that the strength in the state that we, you know, we deserve ultimately. So it needs to be some vision, really.
Yep.
Anyway, I'm sorry, guys, just that on was my high horse.
Did we touch it? We might have said it. The suburban rail loop, that was the one that's cost $35 billion so far out of that $250 billion debt we're in. A lot of it comes from this suburban rail loop. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I'm not too sure who that's solving a problem for, like people getting from, you know, Bayside to Ringwood. Marty, does the suburban rail loop help you, mate?
Oh, mate, something's got to help me. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm 20 k's away. It takes me an hour 20 to get here into West Melbourne from out of east. I just go, come on. You know, it just shouldn't be the case.
Well, I think that's forecast to cost $125 billion alone. So if we keep on going the way we're going with just that one project costing $125 billion, we've got some.
Well, if you reduce taxes and, I'll pay the toll. To get to work in, you know, 20, 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Happily.
Yeah.
Happily. Give us something. Come on. You can do it.
Well, I feel like this has been like a one really good win session, but I guess ultimately what we might need to get out of this is not just venting, but when we go to the polls eventually one day, these are the kind of things we need to consider on who we vote in, what they're doing for us as the people of Victoria and taxpayers. And, you know, interesting for anyone who's interstate listening to this bit of a win session that it has been. Love to hear what you think of your state politicians and state governments. And if you've got any thoughts on our Victorian win session, feel free to contact Nick, Marty or I. Drop us an email, hello@thenumbersgamepodcast.com.au. You know, Nick, Marty, any solutions right now or just frustrations? Any thoughts?
Just frustrations. Mate, we're not here to give solutions. We're here to vent. I didn't know you wanted solutions. We're just here to complain.
But if this was, yeah, if it's our business, we jump straight onto it, right, and create the upside, create a plan around it, and, you know, find a way through. I think it's, yeah, like I said, when you lack control, you naturally get frustrated. Things aren't working your way. But that's why I guess we're venting. But I think we need, yeah, you're right, Jace. We need someone to come up with something really optimistic, really factual, that we can see a way out here. So we know that the hours everyone's putting in this state is going towards, yeah, a better, brighter future. You know, get a new number plate. You know, we're going somewhere, Vic. You know, something, anything. Come
the
on.
The only solution that I would have is leaning more on high-profile, successful business people. A lot of them are lenient with their time, and a lot of them want to see things done well. So, you know, instead of taking the likes of Kerry Packer to court over his tax, maybe consult with someone like Kerry Packer, who's an amazing business person that's done good things. So you're never going to get those people into government. But maybe there's a way that they can work well together, to make sure the right things or the
like an advisory board. I'm sure you'd think that they'd be doing that, but you're right. It's maybe who they're selecting in that that needs to change.
There'd be some element of that, but it's not working the way it is. But you think of the great minds that we have in business.
Well, yeah, you imagine Mark Burris sitting on that board. You know, Mark Burris, you know, is quite often quite outspoken on these things. But, you know, if government were leaning on great business minds, entrepreneurs that have been there, done that, and care about the population and the people in it. You know, I think if there was KPIs and accountability to our politicians rather than retiring and getting, you know, $300,000-$400,000 for the rest of their lives, like Mr. Dan Andrews is sitting back on a healthy $300,000 or $400,000 a year salary to just ride the wave of retirement. If there was KPIs that said you had to do a decent job while you're in power, you know, potentially that'd work smarter and work better with our money.
Well, there you go. You've just nailed it in one key sentence. Give them some performance KPIs to hit to get your benefits.
Always underlying lessons when you listen to the numbers game. KPIs, performance metrics, that's what we need.
I think you nailed it, Jace. I think I'm satisfied off the back of this discussion. There's a way forward, and we are open to being on that advisory board. So if you're listening out there, just give us a call.
Yep, so ignore all of the shit talking we've done about the government. Get us onto the panel. Let us help make Victoria and Australia a better place. We are open and ready for business. Speaking of, the lovely team at Future Advisory and at Innovate are always here to support you, unlike our government supporting us. So if you need anything, please feel free to reach out to Nick, Marty or I and our teams. Always happy to help. And until next time, though, like, share, support, give us your ratings, click follow online, jump onto Instagram and check out our mugs on our faces on Instagram, or even full-length clips of our episodes are now available on YouTube. So go and search The Numbers Game Podcast and check that out. But until next time, whinge over. And Marty.
Victorians, it's not game over. It's game on. Let's get on it.